Thank you, Katie and the band. And this is the time in our service where we get a chance to open up the scriptures together. So please, if you can open your Bibles, if you've brought one, to Matthew chapter 28. We're taking a pause from our Nehemiah series. If you don't have a Bible, don't worry. Wendy and others are just bringing around Bibles right now. And if you just raise your hand, they'll place one in it. And it will really help you to have a Bible. Thanks, Peter, with you. So thanks, Wendy. That's great. If you don't have a Bible, just sort of stick a hand up, wave it around, and someone will come and bring one to you. Matthew 28, we're looking at. It's been quite a week with all that's gone on in our nation. But also, as we look ahead this week, this is an important week in the life of the church, not just because it's a world week, but also this is what's known as Ascension Week coming up, because it's 40 days after Jesus' death, after Easter, and the resurrection on Easter Sunday, and 40 days after that, Jesus ascended into heaven. And actually, this passage is slightly ascension account in Matthew's gospel. It's probably just before he ascended into heaven. And often at that ascension point, whether in the book of Acts or in other gospels, there's a sense of commissioning the disciples into the work in which Jesus had done. So it's wonderful to think today of the ascended Jesus. One thing we know about him is that he is praying for us even as we meet today. Matthew 28, and it's page 1001, and we're looking at verse 16. And our title is The Voice of Authority. Matthew 28. Matthew writes this: Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Such a short reading. I think it deserves just being read again, because these are wonderful words, final words of Jesus to his disciples here in Matthew's gospel. Let's read them again. Why don't we just pick it up in verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Let's pray and ask God to open our eyes, not just to understand these words, but to apply them in our lives as well. Father, we love you. And we thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for sending him into our world. Thank you that he died and rose again. Thank you that he's now ascended into heaven and at your right hand interceding for us. We believe he does have all authority. And so I pray that we would understand his words, that we would know how to apply them to our lives, to do them. And I ask now for your help, that wonderful promise that you are with us. Lord, be with me. Be with each one of us, I pray, for your glory. Amen. Well, I guess at this point, most of us expected there to be some clear government formed, maybe a new government or the old government formed, so that we could move forward in these pressing days ahead. But we, the electorate, have not given anyone a clear mandate, clear authority to govern our nation. And I guess, like me, maybe you stayed up a little bit of the night and thought, is this getting anywhere? And maybe it's time to go to sleep. And woke up in the morning thinking, is it all happened? And discovered it hadn't. And then watched a bit of the news maybe on Friday and thought, oh, it's still nothing yet. And then you saw Gordon Brown come out of number 10 and be quite prime ministerial and kind of say, you know, look, I have authority still and things are going, keep going. And then you saw David Cameron come out and kind of say, look, I've got some, you know, right to have authority here as well. And they were trying to have authority, but neither of them had clear authority. we come to a passage where one speaks who has a clear voice of authority, the greatest authority that anyone could ever claim. And we're going to see this morning the words of what this one with great authority would have us do. He gives us a great commission. There's a sense of wonder and amazement in these passages. They have a repeated sense of all or always or everywhere or everything. There's a hugeness about these words. And he gives us, men and women, a great call. It's sometimes called the Great Commission. What we're meant to do. And he gives us a great encouragement of how we're meant to live and that how we can live these things out. He says, I will be with you at the end of this wonderful passage. But firstly, he gives us a great reason why we're to do this great call that he gives to us. And there are many reasons why we could go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that God has told us. There are many great reasons we could have for doing that. We could, this morning, talk about the suffering in the world. The suffering of the nations has often been a great mobilizer for world mission. Do you know how many people in our world do not have access to clear water, clean water? Just turn to your neighbor, take a guess. How many people in the world don't have access to clean water? Just take a stab, percentage-wise. What do you think? So no one can do what I've just done. These people don't have access to clean water where they can just go. What do you reckon? Any takers? Shall I tell you? 30%. 30%, one in three. As men and women, just fellow humans, as Christians even more so, should we not be moved with compassion? Yes, to bring to such as these just a clean cup of water. We could talk about the suffering in our world and the great reason that alone would be for us to move in mission. We could talk about the lostness of people. People caught in drugs. People caught in all kinds of slavery and addictions. We could talk about the problems around our city, around our nation, broken Britain, or whatever you like to think of it is, or around the world. We could talk about those problems. We could talk about something that even Christians sometimes aren't talking about as much as they used to, but that Jesus never shied away from talking about. We could talk about how the Bible says that men and women who turn their back on God are in danger of, his words, the fires of hell. Would that not alone be reason enough and motivation enough for mission? To go and tell people, look, there is a way out, there is salvation, there is a possibility of escaping such a thing. Because of what Jesus has done on the cross. That could be the great reason that Jesus gave for us to go and make disciples of all nations. He could have said, look, it's wonderful following me and doing mission and living life as a follower of Jesus and making follow of Jesus is the most wonderful, freeing thing. It's like running around in wide open space. It's thrilling. And I would want to bear testimony to that. To living for God is a wonderfully releasing thing. It's when we live for other stuff that we feel like we're in enclosed, confined space. He could have said, look, here's a great motivation. Give, go, call, pray, live for me, be a follower, be baptized, because it's so freeing, and it is. But that's not the great reason he gave. What was the great reason he gave for us to go and make disciples of all nations? What came before the therefore? In this passage in front of us in Matthew 28. Look with me. Verse 19 says, therefore go and make disciples. Therefore, because of what? Because of what final great reason that Jesus gave? Wow, it's not the suffering. It's not the many lost who are facing eternity away from God in the fires of hell. It's not for our sakes. What does he say? Jesus says, it's for my sake, go. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, says Jesus, because he has all authority. He says, therefore, go. Go make disciples of all nations. He has all authority. He's the king above all kings. He has the right over everyone and everywhere. And not just the right, but he has the right to love them deeply. They are his. He died for them. He loves them more than any government of theirs, any parent of theirs, anyone, anywhere. He has the greatest right, the greatest authority, the greatest love, the greatest compassion. He is the only righteous king. And he comes and bids those that would follow him to obey him, to do as he says. This is not a coalition government. Jesus doesn't say, look, I'm just struggling to really form a government of all things and everywhere, and so I need your kind of co-opting in. What are your kind of deals? Okay, you want to make sure that it's not going to, you know, mean you have to do anything or go anywhere or, you know, right, okay, you just want to be able to, right, well, let's see, I'm not sure I can do that, but I need your help. And no, this is not a coalition government. He has all authority. He says, therefore, go. All authority over all things. That's what it says, doesn't it? Look down in verse 18. I just think this is amazing. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Over all the universe, all the stars, the galaxy clusters. This is supernovas, quasars, you know, you name it. He has authority over everything in space. That is massive. Here we are in our little bit of the country. Who's got authority over that? He has authority over everything in space. He has authority over those things that governments have no control over. The volcanic ash, the weather, the winds, the seas, the tides. He has authority over all of that. He has authority over the things that are just so massive that we struggle to get our heads around, like blue whales. I still can't quite get my head around how blue whales are bigger than any dinosaur that ever lived. They're huge. Fill this place up. And beyond. Massive. And then he can control and he knows every hummingbird. These small little things the size of flowers. And I love sometimes when I think of the beauty and intricacy of a hummingbird and all it can move, just think about hippos. I love hippos. They're just so... you've got to have a sense of humor to make a hippo. God made it all. He has authority over it all, over all things. He has authority not just over that, but right down to the minutiae, the molecular, the subatomic particles, the quasars, the protons, the electrons, the little quantum physics things that go on. He has authority over it all. He has authority over all governments everywhere, whatever party, whatever background, whatever system of government, whether communist or capitalist or you name it, he has authority over the whole thing. In fact, in the Bible, we see in the Gospels that he has authority over angels and demons even. He says to them, be gone and they're gone. He has authority to bring up a government or to bring it down. He has authority over things like sickness. In the Bible, he speaks and people are healed. Even authority not just over sickness and broken bones and all these kind of things. He has authority over death itself. And he comes and here is speaking as one who has broken the chains of death and is raised victorious. And even as he walked on this earth, he brought people back to life. He has authority over all things, over all people, everywhere, over huge crowds. You think of a face, you think of a name in history, Jesus had authority over it. You think of anyone you know, anywhere you've been, Jesus has authority. He has authority over all things, everywhere, everyone who's ever been or ever will live. He is the king. Charles Wesley wrote that amazing hymn, rejoice, the Lord is king. Your Lord and King adore. Lift up your hearts and sing and triumph evermore. He goes on and says this. Just need to find it. It's an amazing hymn. One of my favorites. Jesus, the Savior reigns. The God of truth and love. When he had purged our stains, he took his seat above. Lift up your hearts, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say rejoice, because his authority is good news. His kingdom cannot fail. He rules our earth and heaven, the keys of death and hell are to our Jesus given. he sits at God's right hand till all his foes submit and bow to his command and fall beneath his feet. Lift up your hearts. Lift up your voice. Rejoice again, I say. Rejoice. Are you worried about the state of our nation? Don't be worried. Jesus said, do not worry about tomorrow. Yes, be concerned. Yes, pray. But don't be worried. Jesus has all authority. So the question is, when this Jesus speaks, when this Jesus says, the reason why I'm going to say what I'm going to say is because I have all authority, what will you and I do? Because he gives us a great call. It's a great call. It's a very simple call, really. It's this. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Go and make disciples. Make disciples is the main verb in this sentence that Jesus brings, this call he gives us. It's make disciples. Make disciples. He's telling us that what we need to do is we need to be disciples who in turn go and encourage others to be disciples, followers of Jesus Christ, that each one goes and reaches one and brings them to maturity in Christ so that they in turn can help another to come to know Christ and believe in him. And I want to ask you this morning, are you a disciple? Are you following this one who has all authority? Have you gladly and willingly said, yes, Jesus, like Liz is saying today, I want to submit to his authority? Have you made that decision yourself? And are you helping anyone? Who are you helping disciple? This is such a clear call that Jesus gives, but you know, it's one of the most neglected things to do. It's so clear and so simple, and yet so often we busy ourselves with all kinds of different activities and neglect just to go help disciple someone who does know Christ or who doesn't know Christ, just to go and draw alongside them and help them see how they can come to know and trust Jesus and live for him and put him central in their lives. You know, discipling is about helping people discover that Jesus in every area of life knows what's best. It's me drawing alongside someone and saying, look, yeah, actually God's word, Jesus' words, they help in that as well as in this, and yes, in that. And actually, if you want to live for him, follow him. Who are you discipling? Who are you drawing alongside as you think about this great commission that Jesus gave? And one of the things he then says as we seek to make disciples is to baptize them. That's what it says in Matthew 28. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Baptism is this wonderful sign of coming under the authority of Jesus. It's wanting to be identified with him in his death and his resurrection. And it's that sign of saying, I'm Jesus. I'm coming underneath his authority. Complete surrender to Jesus. When you're baptized, we ask people those questions, admitting they're a sinner and turning to believe in Jesus Christ. And that last question we say is, will you hold on to Jesus no matter what? Whatever difficulties, struggles, or even persecution. And people say yes. Why? Because Jesus is worth it. They say yes because given the choice of having life just easy or having Jesus, they'd choose what? They'd choose Jesus because he is worth it. He is worth it. And so baptism becomes a place where we count the cost. Baptism is a place where you make that advanced decision. Say, yep, I'm going to stand for Jesus. Though it may be costly, I'm going to stand for him. And many here have been baptized. I want to remind you, you've said, yeah, I want to stand for Jesus, whatever the cost. And some of you here haven't been baptized. And I want to spur you on this morning and say, look, I've been mandated by the Lord, who has all authority, to go and make disciples, baptizing them. I've been encouraged, commanded, commissioned by him to go and baptize people and call them to baptism. I want to call you today, if you've not been baptized, to come under his authority by being baptized. Gladly, willingly. Like Liz has done. Sometimes in the past, we've had times when the Baptist pool's been open and we've said, look, if that's you, if you know you need to be baptized and you recognize Jesus is Lord and you hear his command to be baptized, well then come. and be baptized? We'll ask you those same four questions, even this morning, that we asked Liz. We've got spare changes of clothes and dressing gowns that whatever you like, you can just stay warm until we get you some clothes if they don't fit. Come this morning. Jesus calls those who believe in him to show it by coming under his authority by being baptized. And then once you've done that, you know, once you've been baptized, actually as you face decisions, as you face decisions about what to do with your money, as you face decisions about whether to go and make that sacrifice for Jesus when he's calling you, it actually is an advanced decision you've already made. You've decided, yeah, I want to follow him. And so when Chris and Lucy felt the Lord's call to consider going, leaving this place and their home and going and training to be missionaries, particularly with North Africa in mind. And if any of you know anything about this country, here on the left in, you know, it's, I won't name it just in case this goes on online, but this is in a little country in North Africa. And this is a place where people are getting thrown out for being missionaries. And even as they've been training, they've been at their base where they've been training, people have come to that base having just been thrown out of the country, having to have left everything that they were doing. And Chris and Lucy, as I've been speaking, and this is a couple of you, a visitor here who've just recently gone out as missionaries from this church, they were saying this is such good training because it shows us the kind of reality of the cost that it might involve. But when you've been baptized, you've already made that advanced decision that whatever the cost, Jesus will do it. And so does that make Chris and Lucy think, oh, I'm not sure we'll do that? No, it makes them think, there's a need here. There's people who need to, all nations, there's people around Morocco who've never heard. Never heard. Or what about this country? This is a country that's very dear to my heart. Somalia. We talked about Somalia before. I don't know if you know much about Somalia. You think we don't have a kind of clear government at the moment. Same is true of Somalia, but it's just in a bit more anarchy because of it. There are very few Christians in Somalia. Those that are there are getting persecuted and getting thrown out of the country. There are people in the surrounding areas who are trying to reach them. This country needs Jesus. This country is part of the all nations that you and I are called to go to. I've met with people who feel a calling to go to this people. I at one stage wondered whether this was the people God wanted me to reach. Remember sitting in a cafe just across the way where God said, I said, God, anywhere, anytime. And he was saying, David, it's here. It's here in this place. And it's these kind of Sundays where I go, well, God, if it is in this place, then may what I do here, what I preach, what I say, what I as I disciple people, may it release people who are willing to go and reach people like this. People who, because they've been baptized, because they're seated saying, Jesus, I'll go anywhere, do anything, that it almost, it doesn't matter. We're the kind of disciples at Holland Road where if it's going across the room or going across the city or going across the nation, going across the continent, even going to Somalia, it's not a big deal because we've already know what it is to be identified and dying to our own life and being raised to new life in Jesus Christ. So baptism. If you've been baptized, that's the place you're saying, whatever the cost. And I was thinking about, just for us as even a family or for any family here in the church, if God were to call any of us to go to Somalia, you know, that would be a hugely costly thing. Hugely costly thing. And I was just thinking about our World Gift Day target for next week, which is what? £40,000. And if you weren't really wanting to live for God and just obey his call, and you were just going simply on a, what can I get away with least? And you were kind of knew, well, there was this kind of option maybe to go and reach like Somalis in Somalia. And there was giving £40,000. You'd kind of go, well, I'll just give the whole £40,000. Thank you very much. It's not a big amount compared with what God sometimes leads people to do who have come under his authority and are following his leading. But here's the thing. He doesn't call us all to give the same amount. He doesn't call us all to do the same things, to go the same places. The question is simply, are we willing? Are we surrendered? And I'd hope that if you've been baptized, you are. And this week, you're simply just asking, like we're asking as a couple, Lord, what do you want us to give? And we will give it. And then let him lead you. Let him lead you. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's what we'll do to Liz and any others who want to come and say, yeah, Jesus is worth it. And let me just say, for Chris and Lucy, for other missionaries, for people who've even gone and it's cost them their life, they're not thinking it wasn't worth the cost. The cost was too big. No, they're thinking it was worth it. Jesus is always worth it. If God were to call any of us here to go to these places where it would cost us way more than £40,000, it would cost us everything. If he were to call us in that way, let's go with real wonder as people do, saying, this is worth it. This is a joy, a privilege to serve the King of Kings. In fact, the only thing that is never worth it is not following Jesus 100%. That never pays. That is not living life to the full. Follow him 100%. And he goes on and says, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and teach them. Teach them to obey the things that they want to obey and they find that they're convenient for their life. Do you want to have a look with me and see what it does say? Teach them to obey what? Everything I have commanded you. No pick and mix Christianity is this commission of Jesus Christ. No kind of, well, yeah, I really like Jesus teaching in that way, but that stuff about, you know, being radical with the sin in our lives so that we don't kind of wander away from Christ or giving generously. I mean, we're in this week of giving, so let me just point you back to what Jesus said, and I spoke about last Sunday evening about do not store up treasures in heaven, Matthew 6. Does that ring bells? Do not store up, no, did I get that wrong? Yeah. Do not store up treasures on earth, but store up treasures in heaven. And he goes on in that passage and says this. No one can serve two masters. You will either hate the one and love the other or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You cannot serve both God and money. Why? Because Jesus has all authority over everything, and he demands it of us if we're to follow him to be completely his. We don't do coalitions. You cannot live your life under a coalition government of God and money. That is Jesus' teaching, and I wouldn't, as your pastor, be faithfully teaching you if I said that you could do anything else. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. Jesus commands to pray. Jesus command to love one another. Jesus command to give. Jesus command to forgive. Make sure you're obeying everything. Jesus command to be baptized. Are you obeying what Jesus has said? Are you digging into his word, always as a learner, always looking. What has he said? Are you helping others to see it? And then, are you going? That's the other sort of subordinate verb to this great thing. Make disciples, baptize them, teach them, and go to them. Go to those whom you need to make disciples. He says, go into all nations. Go into all nations. What a wonderful, huge scope. We've got a map here of the world. It's deliberately one without any kind of national boundaries on, because boundaries were often, if you've been watching this map program on the, I think is it BBC 4 or something, they often were just kind of put on there by those who happen to be ruling the country at the time. Actually, there are people scattered all over this globe, many of whom still haven't heard about Jesus Christ. Who will go for them? Who will go and say, this Jesus died for you? And you might be thinking, I don't know, we've got a right, David, to go into that part of the world. They don't necessarily, you know, want us there. And you know, have we got a right to go there? They seem to be living very happily on their own. Jesus has the right, because he is Lord over all, and he says go. He says go, not for their sake or your sake, not that they might have a wonderful life or you might have a wonderful life, but because he says go. Go and make disciples of all nations for his sake, because he died for them. He loves them. He wants to spend eternity with them, and he has the right and authority to say go. And so he says to us, go, go into all nations and make disciples. It's been thrilling in the life of this church to see how God has sent out people to so many different nations and places. And yes, it's right, as you read our little booklet, that we have a focus, and God uses us as we go into this city of ours in Hope Tan. And please, if you haven't signed up, start here. Dawson Trotman, a great mobilizer for mission, founded an organization called The Navigator, said this: the vision for the world starts with having a vision for one person. You cannot do there what you don't do here. So if you think, oh yeah, yeah, I want to go, go across the street. Go across our city and reach people for Jesus. Go and join a missional community. That's my longing, is that we as a church would be every member missionary. We'd be a going people, going out into this community. So that then when God says to some of us, go to Wales, go and reach those valleys. And then not just to the valleys, but all of Wales. And I tell you what, it's not too late probably. In fact, I'm pretty sure it's not too late to join that Wales team. That's a needy place. Andy Pitt was meant to be preaching even this morning. He's got his nephew's funeral, so he can't. But boy, that is a key partnership where God has used it to mobilize people's hearts for world mission, even as they've gone to Wales. We need to be going and serving those in places like in India with the Dalits. And it's so thrilling to see how God is leading Mike and Nelia to Brazil to help release missionaries from Brazil to go to places like India and help the Dalits. And the church in Brazil is just brimming with people who want to go out on mission. God is using these kind of partnerships and what we've heard about in North Africa. Where might God want to call you? And if it's here, are you really going still? Or have you got stuck? You know, going, and if you think, who does God want you to go to? It might be the people at the school gate. It might be the people in your office. If he's calling you to go to them, what might you need to actually leave in order to go there better? When you think about going, there often is a leaving. I was speaking to some pastors this week, and one of them, Dave Steele at Gloucester Place, was telling a story of how he had put on an event where Jackie Pullinger, who was an amazing missionary lady who'd served the drug addicts in the Far East and others who were really in need, and she was there going to be speaking, but some other pastors were on the side of the stage, and they were talking about a sermon series that they were doing, and they were, you know, the sermon series was called Should We Stay or Should We Go? And they were talking about this, and Jackie Pullinger was overhearing it, and she just couldn't help herself. She stood up and said to these two guys, you should always go. You should always go. Holland Road, friends, we should always go. We should always go. The command is go, going, in fact. Going, make disciples. Who are you going to? Who are you moving towards in love with the gospel of Jesus Christ? God's put some people on your heart, even in this city. Are you going to them? Are you gathering others and saying, let's go and reach these people? This is a great, great call that God gives us. It's a huge thing. It encompasses these massive things, complete surrender, all that he's taught us. And you're thinking maybe, but David, I'm just me. I'm like, I feel very ordinary. I don't know that I can do this. This is a big task. And, you know, these are massive things. And maybe like the disciples, you're aware that, you know, even while we're worshiping and we're singing about Jesus, you've got some doubts. And, you know, and maybe you're thinking, but these needs are so massive, David, and we're not that many of us. And what if more of us start to go? You know, how will that be? And the disciples, they were 11 of them, it says in verse 16. One had already left. Fallen away. And these guys, they weren't like highly educated. They were fishermen. They didn't have computer skills. They didn't have books. They didn't have loads of money in their bank account. They had plenty of excuses they could have brought. Jesus had actually told them this is going to be tough. But yet, he gave them a great encouragement. He gave them the most wonderful resource, which actually meant that these ordinary men and women, men like you and I, women like you women, God used them to do just what Jesus asked. And now, what? Billions around the world have come to know Jesus in so many places, so many situations. They were successful. Why? Well, because of this amazing promise that I want us to end on. Verse 20, surely I am with you always to the end of the age. This is such a great encouragement. This is one of the most wonderful, wonderful truths that I think we can possibly get a hold of. Jesus says, I'll be with you, and he is everything we need. His presence makes all the difference. So one writer says, if Jesus is present, all is well. If Jesus is present, all is well. Jesus is with you in your joys. Jesus is with you in your sorrows. Jesus is with you in your trouble. Jesus is with you when you're sleeping. Jesus is with you when you're in work tomorrow. Jesus is with you in your retirement. Jesus is with you as you battle with uncertainty in your job or unemployment. Jesus is with you as you struggle in your parenting. Jesus is with you in your marriage. Jesus is with you in your sickness. Jesus is with you in even your death. Jesus is with you forever and for eternity. It's okay. You can follow him. Whatever he calls, you can follow him because he's with you. And in fact, what I've discovered and what many have discovered is that there's something about the presence of Jesus which is way, way, way sweeter when you're doing these things that he said we should do, when you're going and making disciples, baptizing them or being baptized, when you're teaching others, when you're obeying his word, even when it's costly, when you're giving. These World Mission Gift Days we have, they're such days of the presence of Jesus. Why? Because we're following, we're stepping out in faith. These moments of baptism, they're so sweet. I remember when I was baptized, the sense of the presence of Jesus. So I didn't hold back any longer, but I stepped in and said, yes, Lord. So I want to end, as we think about the authority of Jesus over everything, I want to end by talking to two lots of people this morning. To those who are not baptized. Be baptized. Repent and believe. In fact, the Apostle Peter, when he was filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, he said this to the crowd that had gathered around him. He said this. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. He's calling this day. If you haven't been baptized, don't hold out. Come and be baptized. Come under his authority in that way. The only thing I would ask is that you are willing to say and ready to say yes to those four questions that we ask everyone who's baptized. Do you admit you're a sinner? Do you believe and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you want to follow him and be part of the worldwide church for the rest of your life by the help of his Holy Spirit, and that you'll hold on to him even in the face of persecution? Come and join Liz, if that's you this morning. If you want to come under the authority of Jesus Christ. But I want to speak to another group this morning. I want to speak to those who have been baptized. You maybe stood here in this place, said, yeah, Jesus is everything. Well, there's a great task he's calling us to. A city that needs him, a nation that needs him, a world that needs him, and it is a huge task. It will require our best, not our leftovers. It will require us to know that he is worth it, whatever the cost. It will require us to know he's with us. So as we end of this week, let's think and ask him, what do you want me to give? And let's give it cheerfully. Let's think, where does he want me to go? And let's go, whether it's in this city or across the nations, cheerfully and willingly. Let's ask God, here I am, wholly available. And let's let him send us, baptizing and teaching and making disciples of all nations. So I'm going to pray right now, and I'm going to then get in the pool as we sing our next song. And as I do, if you've been baptized, remember your baptism vows even as I get in there. And if you've not, then you're welcome. Come while the song is being played. Come stand with Philip, who'll be standing with Liz here at the side. And we'll just get right. So let's stand right now. Lord, we stand if we're able. Even if we're not, we stand in our hearts before you, Lord, for you are the King. And Lord, I pray for any who don't know you as their King this morning, haven't truly submitted to your wonderful authority. Please echo this prayer in your heart to the King this morning. King Jesus, I'm sorry for where I have gone my own way, tried to negotiate with you, tried to form some kind of coalition, try to be king of my own life. Jesus, you are the King. I submit to you. I believe in you. I turn to you. Forgive me. Thank you for dying for me so that I could be free forever. And now, Lord, I gladly, willingly ask, what would you have me do? And Lord, for many here this morning, those who've been baptized already, Lord, we would pray, lead us and guide us so that you would get all the glory. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.